Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, church. Greetings from Studio 2. There are about five of us here this morning in compliance with the MCO 2.0 requirements. If you are just really thankful that you can be part of our service this morning, can you just click the heart-shaped button on the online church platform just to show support for the creative tech team that comprises of Leon, Kaylin, and Joanne this morning? If you can just press the heart-shaped button just to thank them for all that they are doing behind the scenes so that Pastor James and I can live stream to you this morning live. This morning, I'm going to be sharing about the final sermon series entitled The Lord Will Provide from this sermon series called Hope Against Hope, which is the story of Abraham. If you remember, we first started this series from our brother Pradip, who shared Faith Answers the Call. This was followed by Elder Kong Wing, who was sharing about Fire Pot, Flaming Torch, and the Covenant. And how God made this covenant with Abraham. And last week, Elder Yifong shared with us about Elroy, the God who sees me. And this was the story about how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and Sarah after some drama with Hagar as well, and how Sarah finally gave birth to this son, Isaac. And this morning, I'm here to conclude this series, as I mentioned before, on The Lord Will Provide. There you go. And so I would just like us to open our Bibles this morning to Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And we'll be reading from the ESV version. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19 says, "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his knife hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord Will Provide,' as it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. Though this is a familiar story, I wonder how many of us think through and wrestle with the difficulties and challenges of this story. As a child in Sunday school, I remember growing up and just being amazed by Abraham wanting to kill Isaac and how God stopped him in time and provided the ram. However, today, if we hear a story of an old guy killing his son because God told him so, we may think that this person was crazy. It actually seems quite a terrible story, looking at this story now as an adult and having wrestled with this passage the last few weeks. And yet, this story remains and have become an example of tremendous faith of Abraham and how God will provide just in time. If you keep your finger on Genesis 22, verses 1 to 10, I'll just quickly go through some of the highlights from these 10 verses. It starts with verse 1. It says that God was testing Abraham. And this test entailed that Abraham had to offer his son, Isaac, as a human sacrifice. What did Abraham do? Verse 3, it says that he went the next morning, pretty immediately. He made preparations and went to the place that God told him to. And it also says that in verse 4, that this journey to sacrifice his son took 3 days. And verse 10 says that Abraham was actually obedient to the point of taking the knife to slaughter his son. And so this verse, 10 verses end with this picture about Abraham about to kill his son. Some things that this passage does not tell us was how Abraham was feeling. And yet, by his actions that were mentioned and highlighted in the previous verses, it still showed that Abraham, through his actions, was willing to be obedient to God. Secondly, it does not tell us how old Isaac was. Some pictures online may show a little boy. However, Scripture is silent on this. But commentaries and commentators who have studied this passage says that Isaac must have been around 18 years old, because based on one of the verse, in verse 6, when Abraham laid the wood on him, he couldn't have been 5 years old or 6 years old to carry so much wood and complete that journey with Abraham. And he was probably between 18 and around mid-30s, where scholars know that he married Rebecca around the age of 36, 37. So this means at verse 9, he actually also considered to being the sacrifice, despite initially not knowing what his father was doing. Some things to consider as we study this passage this morning. Abraham was actually quite old at this time. He was in past the second half of the stage of his life, and God has just given him his son Isaac, okay, through whom the covenant will be fulfilled. This sacrificing of Isaac would seem the end of this promise and blessing made by God. Other things to consider is that, and yet despite of all this, Abraham was still willing to obey God at the price of his son's life, even though it may have seemed easier to have offered his own instead. Some of you know that I have joined the ship for about 8 years and was serving as a missionary on board. Many missionaries who prepare to go on the field generally have to ask this question: what are we willing to give up when we go? And it's interesting to know that when we talk to people on the ship, it seems easier to give up our own life than, let's say, if God had to call us to sacrifice a loved one. So sometimes when missionaries have kids on the field, they find it a struggle because they struggle how their children will grow up on the mission field, especially if the mission field has certain dangers. And that, I guess, is perfectly normal. As I was preparing this sermon, one of the pastors, you can guess who, I was talking to, said, if I'm Abraham, if he asks me to sacrifice my son, I'll say to him, I have only one son. Come on, God. Son, you know, this son, I have to go through labor pain. So, how can I sacrifice him? Okay? But yet, Abraham was willing to do this. And this ends with verse 10. How could Abraham, how was it possible that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son? Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19 may give us a clue. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So perhaps at this point, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son because he thought that God will raise him up again from the dead, according to the author of Hebrews. However, many commentators will tell you this. This story is not about Abraham's faith. It is actually a lot about the Lord's providing and how the Lord sees. In Hebrew, the word yireh means provide. But if those of you who study Hebrew may know, the vowels are not included in the Hebrew lettering. So it can also mean sees, which is yara. So it means for this passage, you can translate it as the Lord actually provides or the Lord sees. Now we look into verse 11 to 19, and it quickly says, just a quick glimpse, through the messenger or angel, God spoke to Abraham to stop just in time. And this is reflected in verse 12. God himself provided a ram as a substitute for the sacrifice of Isaac. And that's in verse 13. And Abraham subsequently named the place as the Lord provides, symbolizing and remembering that the Lord was the one who provided the ram when he was about to sacrifice Isaac. After the provision and after Abraham named the place, God reinstated the covenant blessing with Abraham, where he again reinstated that Abraham's descendants will be numerous and prosperous as well. What does this story hold for us today? In our walk with God, I think there are times where things may seem tremendously challenging. Sometimes there are tests from God in our faith with Him. Growing up, I saw how God worked in providing for my mom and my dad and my family when times were really hard. My parents always told me, God provide. God will provide. And does He not own everything in this world? I used to wonder, if one day when I grew up, I would have the kind of faith that they did. Little did I know that God too will challenge me over the years when I grew older. And one of these times came a few years ago when I decided to extend my time on the ship Logos Hope. I believe I was in my second year, and it was my first extension. And with this extension, I was allowed to come home for 6 weeks to rest and connect with the church, as well as my family, and to raise funds. I remember praying as I was deciding whether I should extend. And I remember hearing very clearly from the Lord to go ahead because He will still provide. I remember wrestling with Him because I told the Lord that this extension meant I would take a much heavier responsibility of leadership on the ship. And I told the Lord I would really struggle if I had to still raise funds all the way from the ship when a lot of my supporters were still here. And again, I remember the Lord assuring me that He would provide. However, when I came home, things didn't quite work out the way that I thought they would. I was home for 6 weeks. I was just really extremely exhausted. I struggled when I met up with people to share with them about the support and money that I needed to raise. And 5 weeks plus have gone by, and I was about to return back to the ship in 3 days. And I remember being really discouraged and down because I had 3 more days. And at this point, I didn't tell many people at that time, but I only had about 5% of everything I needed for the next year. I remember in that moment, I was telling the Lord, God, I thought You said You will provide. Have I not been obedient to You with this extension? Where are You, Lord? God, I cannot go back without this support money because You know that You've called me to this leadership role, and there is no way I can focus on raising support and carrying out my responsibilities when I go back. And so I was really torn. I was a little bit stressed out, wondering how I would get the support. Interestingly, I was going to meet up with a friend that day, a close friend that I haven't met in a while. I was also continually discouraged when she called me and said, "Hey, I know we're supposed to spend some time, but I now only have about half an hour instead of our initial 2 hours. Do you still want to meet up?" And I remember thinking, why not? And so I met up with this friend. And in half an hour, I felt really rushed. And I just really wanted to catch up with her and just knew what was going on with her. And I remember we only had 5 minutes left when she asked me, "Hey, Ruth, I know you're going back to the ship. Can you quickly share with me why God was calling you back? And actually, how much more do you need?" So I told her the amount, and I told her, not expecting anything, and I said, "Hey, this is the amount I still need. I'm only at 5%, and I'm going back in 3 days. And because she was rushing off, I remember she just said, "Don't worry about it." I was a little bit confused, and I said, I was thinking, what did she mean? The next day, I received in my bank account the full amount I needed, plus a little bit more for a treat from her. I was really overwhelmed. The Lord provided just in time. That year on the ship was definitely a challenging year, but the Lord's miraculous way of providing through my friend reminded me that He was with me through it all and sustained me in the darkest moments of my ministry on the ship that year. It was the only time something like that happened in my 7 years. What does Abraham's story and the story that I shared means to us? I've learned that through my faith journey, as well as through the story of Abraham, that God tests us in our obedience from time to time and our faith in Him as we follow Him. And with this comes the question, how mature is your faith? This is not a judgmental question, but more of a question to ask, where are we in our growth with God? The staff and I are currently reading a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And as we read chapter 1 about the things that can deter us from growing, the unhealthy things that can grow us, that can deter us from growing emotionally and spiritually, this chapter, one of the things that stuck out in my head was this sharing by a Christian who was 22 years old, and he said that, "I feel like I'm a one-year-old Christian 22 times." And how many of us are like this Christian? How long have you been walking with God? And how mature is your faith with God as you walk with Him? As Pastor James shared earlier, this time of MCO, there are many needs, and I know that many of us are going through challenges. And I wonder whether God allows us to go through these challenges to reflect where we are in our faith with Him. I pray that many of us are not like this Christian who are one-year-old Christian 22 times. Rather, we are still walking in obedience with God and our faith with Him as we follow Him. I pray many of us are growing in Him in this time. Second thing is, obedience to God and faith in God does come with a cost. Unlike many prosperity gospel, which may not say this, I've learned over the years that following God and being obedient to Him always come with a cost. How are you doing in obeying God today? How are you doing in obeying God in this season? What is God saying to you that you still need to do? And as it comes with a cost, what cost is too high a price to pay? This is not to guilt trip you, but perhaps this question is also to ask, what is our limit? What are we willing to pay or not willing to pay in our following God? And what are we not willing to give up? Are we willing to sacrifice our loved ones if God tells us to? As I mentioned, I've spent many years on the mission field, and in one of the areas where there's a very strong sense of community, we find missionaries as we challenge them, as we challenge the church to go. We find that one of the challenges to people is that they are not willing to give up their family because of that strong sense of community. I wonder how much that also affects us here in Asia and in Malaysia. Are we willing to go or be obedient, even sometimes when it means sacrificing our loved ones? Are we willing to obey God at that cost? Thirdly, obedience to God and faith in God leads to the Lord's provision and blessing. Yes, there is a cost, but there's also provision and blessing. This teaches us that God always needs to come first. He will provide as we focus on following Him and obeying Him, so that that blessing that He gives us does not become greater than Him. Again, I will ask, how are you in your obedience to God and your faith life in Him in this season? As we finish and end this sermon series on Abraham and his life, we see that Abraham, there's so much that we can admire about Abraham and his faith with God. But the story now points to us in 2021. How are we as his people following him? I pray that many of us in the church still remains obedient to him, still live a life of faith. And I pray that we will continue to be a blessing to others, even as the Lord blesses us, because we remain obedient to him. God needs to come first, and we need to keep believing that he will provide for us, no matter what circumstances that we are in today. I would like to close with this song, God Will Make a Way, as we end this sermon this morning. Just to remind us that sometimes, even though God promises certain things, as we choose to follow him as his children, it doesn't always mean that it will be easy. And sometimes it leads us to very impossible situations. Situations where we cannot see God, or situations where we think, this is impossible. Will the Lord really provide? This song really reminds us that God will really make a way. And so I ask that wherever we are this morning, that we just now take this time to just stand where we are and or just sit where we are and reflect as we sing the song. We just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. And we just thank you for your word this morning and this story of Abraham that was willing to sacrifice Isaac. Oh God, what a terrible cost you asked him to pay. And Lord, yet we look to you and we thank you that you were faithful and that you provided him a way just at the right moment. And so, Father, I just want to pray for each and every one of us this morning. Father, you know where we are, each and every one of us in this church. And we ask that, Lord, I just re-ask that, Lord, you just help us to continue to be faithful to you. That, Lord, you help us to choose to be obedient to you each day. No matter what you call us to do. And Father, when the price may sometimes feel too high to pay, Father, I pray for your grace in those times and your mercy, Lord. And Father, I pray that if we stumble and fall, that Lord, you would just continue to pick us up again, that we will still remain faithful to you despite our weaknesses. And so, Father, I just really want to commit each and every one of us that, Lord, you would just remind us this week that, Lord, you will always make a way, Lord, no matter how impossible our situation may seem. Father, help us to look beyond our circumstances and to lift our eyes and to look to you, the author and creator of our faith, knowing that, Lord, you will really provide. And so, Father, I just really want to commit ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so now I would just ask that we stand wherever we are for the benediction this morning. It says, O loving Lord, grant that we may more closely follow your footsteps and refuse to walk a different way. May your powerful spirit keep our feet walking in the path you have chosen for us. And may we always, through your grace and your spirit, walk in step with you. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons.